Simukov Chafalef is a extremely organized simon, quite different than Hilchos Pesach, where Tuftan Aleph and Tuftan Beis seem to be all over the place, without an easy seder. Sif Aleph deals with Belia of coal. Sif Beis deals with Belia through hot water. And Sif Gimel and Dalid deal with Belia through heat without water. We call her Libun. So to say that Advarim is very Mesuder. Last week we discussed Sif Aleph, Belia of coal, which is primarily an issue with kavush. When a liquid is kept in a container for 24 hours or longer, we say that kavush kamavushul and the container is beileya. I mentioned to you at the end of the shiur last week the problem with holding tanks and tanker trucks which carry liquid and can carry liquid for more than 24 hours, and then they use to carry other liquids. Could be, it's a funny thing, everyone knows the kalim have to be kosher, but the truck has to be kosher. That it sounds like a chiddush. So last week I read to you from a kula, which seemed to be, the way it was presented, excessive to be makel with just using a hot spray gun to make things very hot and to kosher it that way. So my dear friend Rabbi Cheskel emailed me the COR of Canada's, the protocols for kashering these trucks. And they explained that there are two types of trucks. There are trucks that, like we discussed last week, which transport coal, which are a kavush issue. And there are other trucks which even have coils in the walls to keep the contents from congealing, keep it as liquidy as possible, so that it can be pumped out, and there it's a problem. The truck, funny as it sounds, could be a kli rishon. The truck itself needs to be kashered. Very hard to put a truck on a fire and bring it to a boil. So it's interesting, they bring... if it's Yatzeleh Despay, it's a problem. If it brings it to Yatzeleh Despay, I guess the article assumes they do, although I don't see that it says the exact temperature... for longer hauls, necessary to use heating coils embedded between the inner tank and outer shell of the tanker, possibly rendering such a tanker a kli rishon. If the karka kosher product is heated to yatzei ledes, but it can absorb the flavor of the tray. Okay. What? No, he's saying is that if the kosher product put back into the truck, it reaches the heat of yatzei ledes, but it's by laying from the walls. So here you have to understand kashering. We in order to kasher, it has to be mayim roisim. We don't kasher 200 degree temperature with 200 degree water. To kasher something, you need mayim roisim, except for irib, but it's a klirishin, you need mayim roisim. So it's very interesting. They have here the lechatchila way of kashering and the shasadchak way of kashering. Now listen to this. A tanker truck that became tray from holding a cold non-kosher product for 24 hours or by holding a hot product must be kashered. Although the tankers have heating coils that can heat the product to yatzeledes, it's not sufficient for kashering. A proper kashering requires boiling the vessel while it's full of water and having the water overflow. Now listen to this. It is difficult to kasher a tanker properly with rice and boiling water, as the heating coil is not capable of heating the content at such a high temperature. Rather, this can be accomplished by injecting live steam through inserting a high pressure hose into the tanker while it is full with water. In other words, they have they fill up the tanker with water, and they put in a hose. It can take 8 to 12 hours to bring the temperature of a full tanker up to boiling. Many of our companies use this method for initial kashering of tags that previously were non-kosher. Some companies, citing safety concerns, or the time, or the expense involved, requested an alternative. Now, the best way, you fill it up with water, you boil the tanker full of water until it's bubbling, and it overflows. You do it, no, it can't get out from the coils, but if you use a, no, he's talking about using a, injecting live steam to heat it up. Yeah. Pouring boiling water only works for Eru. It doesn't work for Kedushin. It's going to lose the boil if you take boiling water off the fire. Oh, you mean it'll go quicker to... So I don't know why they don't do that. Sounds like a good idea. 5,000 gallons of hot water may not be readily available. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, my tank at home is 75 gallons. You can contribute. If you do that... few times he
would just suck up. When something is covered in for 24 hours, the Benyama starts from after that 24 hours.
The Benyama starts, yeah, 24 hours.
So for another, for the next 24 hours.
Yeah, two kavush, it's unlikely the second kavush will be Belay, since Mamish is split second later. But in a Benyama, we don't do either. We don't use Trefa Kalim anyway, but okay. Anyway, they have the second alternative. An alternative method. The tanker is filled one-third water, injected with live steam, raising temperature to boiling. The tanker is then sprayed, if the walls of the tanker are sprayed, with 195-degree water, Eroi, and they consider it similar to using a hot stone. You do a hot stone by pouring water with an Eve Meluban, 1 second. So they hold that it's the same as Eve Meluban to spray the hat around the wall while it's one-third filled with boiling water. Was that better? Because it's better. Hagol is better than Eve Meluban. But furthermore, the wide reason that Eri is considered a lower level of kashri is because the walls of the vessel cool off the Eri. By preheating the walls, it upgrades the Eri to the status of Hagol. This is what was mentioned last week in the name of Rebelski. So the tank, the kosher upgrade wash, they call it a tanker wash, requires A, tanker should be cleaned and left empty for 24 hours. B, tanker should be filled one-third water, brought to a boil of 212, with live steam injection. While the partially filled tanker is boiling, the tanker is spray-balled with 195-degree water for 5 minutes in the presence of kosher supervision. So, on the inside, with a hose, with a spray hose. I don't know, I never crawled into one of them, but, I don't know how they do it. I'm not there. He says, no, he doesn't go in while he's spraying. For your kipper, it makes him kasher for your kipper. What? No, not do a pikem. Within 24, you mean? Big pikem, only was within. Anyway, he said, since the kosher wash is harsh and will reduce the life of the tanker if it's repeated often, they actually have designated kosher tanker trucks. Tanker trucks, they explain, it has a log, and they're spot checking with the VIN number, etc. And it's a job. It's a separate job to do it. They say some tankers, the ones that are designated kosher, have an emblem on the outside, has a kosher tanker emblem, so that if it's ever, it can be caught easily. A milk tanker is sprayed blue, and a fleshing tanker is sprayed red. So they say it's used for oils, vinegars, whey, liquid sugars, and alcohol, glycerin, and fatty acids, which can be derived from animal and vegetable sources. So I guess the glycerin, fatty acids, the oils are probably the biggest issue. So it's just fascinating. You go through all of this. It's,
they don't do milk in these
trucks? Or milk whey is a milk product. I assume the milk companies, since they're transporting it so often, have special milk trucks. I've seen on the highway the milk. I don't know if it's Chavis Rohanik, but I've seen the milk trucks. Okay, at any rate, I don't know, it's just fascinating what the kashrus organizations go through. You know, I would think to designate kosher tankers, but it seems they do. They have special things. It always amazes me how a country, America, has about 340 million people, of which I doubt there are a million that really keep kosher. And the whole industry is all stands on the heads to satisfy Klal Yisrael, which is, you know, maybe a quarter of 1%. What? Yeah, another 10 people or 20 people. It's just a man. Every time I see an OU on a product, you go to the supermarket, they all have OUs. To me, it's just mind-boggling. You know, Chazal say that the whole world tumbles over the Jews. And to me, it's just true. Yeah, they want kosher, I'm sure. They don't need the McDonald's. We have Halavai, Halavai, we should have a million Jews who want kosher. It would be nice, you know. Well, who told you that? Come on. I doubt that. You know, there are people who like the kosher emblem. They think it's clean, but they're a makbid on kosher. If there was no kashrus, they wouldn't.
What do we know about
it?
I don't know. On the theory structure, an issue
was
the
layout. Well, trucks. I don't know. Maybe they have their own trucks. I don't know. You have to realize milk is something different. Milk, they can have their own trucks. Every day they have to transport so much milk. Yeah, it's not like oil. They are going. They're going. All right, we're done with Sif Aleph. Sif Aleph was cold. The Le Ramah, we didn't do the Ramah. Ramah on Sif Aleph. Yesh Mekaymish Shadogu Heter. We always like that. Yesh Mekaymish Shadogu Heter. Lasum Yayim Bekalim Shadisrei Medubakim Bechalev. That you can use utensils where the boards are glued with chaylev, mishum sheteva yayin lebrayach min hachaylev, v'chaylev nikra shvayim v'ba'atzmai, v'ene negea klal b'yayin. The Dakei Tshuva brings down this Ramah, that we don't have to be makbid on the glue or the cement of kalim, that they be kosher, because when they heter, that somehow, that's the Ramah and Sefalev. That we're knowing this heter and the gra and that bay says afachatchila mutter, that you can rely on this afachatchila, so we're not makbid on things like glue or this type of thing. Our siv bays is the din of chamin. In order to explain siv bays, well, the gra and bays says afachatchila mutter. So the gra siv cotton bays says Afla Chatzilah Mutter, it sounds like he's passing it that way. The Sif Beis starts with Blias and Hat. There are three types of Blias, besides knives, which I deal with later. But there's cold, which is Kavush. There's Hat through water. Hat through water is one level of heat. When you have things that are hot through water, it'll never get more than 212 degrees at sea level. It'll never get more than 212 degrees because it boils. The reason water boils is once it hits 212, it doesn't get any hotter. If you have boiling water, you let it boil for another hour, it's not going to get any hotter because the water, when it hits over 212, it evaporates. And then there's libun kal, libun chama, which is when things are grilled or broiled or baked, and that's going to be separate later. In order to explain siv beis, the kashering of things that are beleya through water, it's necessary to know that hagola and libun are two methods of kashering, and they're very different one from the other. Hagola is kashering what we call purging, which is kashering something by placing it into bubbling water. Somebody has a fleishig keli, which you use with milichix. What you do is you fill up a larger keli with water, you bring it to a boil, you throw in the tray for milichix keli into it, and when you throw in the keli, it cools the water, because the keli itself absorbs some of the heat. You wait for it to boil, and it bubbles for half a minute, and presto, it becomes kosher. That's called hagala. Libun is koshering through heat. Now, exactly how much heat we'll discuss later, but essentially, libun is that you put something, let's say it's a self-cleaning oven, or you put hot coals on it, or you use a blowtorch if that's doable, and you heat it up to whatever the required temperature is, which we'll discuss, and that's called libun. There are a number of nafkaminas between hagol and libun that stem from understanding the methodology by which they work. Hagol and libun are very different. Hagola draws out the blias. We have a Kabbalah from Har Sinai, from mentioned in Psukim, that if you take a keli that's treif and you put it into bubbling water, the blias are purged, they come out. All the blias, yaitzi mi dafyai, they all come out of the walls of the keli. Now, they don't disappear, they come into the water. Libun is something else. Libun destroys the blia. Libun burns the blia. It doesn't come out. Now, it's a tremendous nafkamina. If you're going to take a tray for kli, ben yaymai, and put it into bubbling water, it's going to make the water tray. The blias come out into the water. And now, not only haven't you kashered the keli, you've made the water tray, and the outside keli treif, and of course the blias are going to go back into the inside keli. So that by hagala, you have to deal with the fact that you're bringing out the treif. So there are two ways to deal with it. One is to kasher when it's ein ben yaimai, which is what we tell people to do. You kasher when the keli is not been used for 24 hours, it can't make the water treif. Or two, if you must kasher ben yaimai, which happens when you kasher a hotel, so you want to kasher it in water, which is 60 times the silverware. Let's say you're kashering silverware, it's ben yaimai. You throw it into, you take a big vat of boiling water, which is 60 times the volume of the utensils, and you throw it in, so even though the blias come into the water, they're bottled b'shishin in the water. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, has to come to a boil. After you throw it in, it boils for a minute, is enough. We'll figure that out. But right now, those are the two ways to do it. Now, there's a nafkamina for Pesach. On Pesach, chametz ases b'mashu, on Pesach, and for Ashkenazim, it ases even ein ben yaimai ases the water, which means that if somebody kashers chametz tikka kelim on Pesach through Agola, he's making everything treif. Because the blia, even ein ben yaimai that comes into the water, ases b'mashu, the water is chametz tik, the keli you're kashering in is chametz, the sink you pour that water into is chametz. For us, it's all chametz tik. You cannot do hagala on Pesach. You can do libun. Somebody who comes into a place and wants to put on a self-cleaning oven and kasher an oven, you can do it. You're burning out the chametz. You can do that on Pesach. But hagala does not work on a ben yaimai all year round unless it's shishim, and it does not work on Pesach because Pesach it ases. So that's the primary difference between hagala and libun, and the way they work is that you need shishim all year round, and you need Pesach, you need to do it before Pesach. When chametz does not ask the b'mashu, only on Pesach chametz asks the b'mashu. Ashkenazim do them both together, yes. Sfaradim have it easier, but Ashkenazim. On Pesach with Mashmir, it's on Pesach, since the Ramah says, since Issa Mashu is Aser, just like Mashu Bekamus is Aser, Mashu Be'echus also, which is. So it is still a Mashu there. Maybe it's a Mashu of quality, I don't know. The Ramah says, where machmir b'nei Ashkenaz, a machmir ene ben yaymai, just like mashu, which means before Pesach with mekel and on Pesach with machmir.
Right. I something.
Okay, so there is a third way, which is used in, when they kasher, in hotels or in places where. I'm not talking about chametz necessarily. I'm talking all year round. You go to a hotel, and you make nesimcha in a treifa venue. So here, it's very hard to get them ein b'nei yaymai. When they reserve it for a weekend, when they're good, the reserves for a weekend, they reserve that the kitchen gets shut down 24 hours before they come. I should say 24 hours before they use it, they can come, but before they kasher it. Since they're renting for the whole weekend, and they're talking out about a Wednesday night into a Thursday day, so the hotel is willing. The mashgiach will come, and they tape up whatever it is that has to be kashered, and they kashered for Eina B'nei Yaima, which is the right way to do it, lechatzilah. When you're kashering for a simcha, for one night, the hotels generally don't allow it. They usually request, if it's possible. Sometimes the hotel's just not booked for a thing, but most of the time, especially a Sunday wedding, it can't be done. So therefore, they're stuck. Now, if they want to cash a silverware, it's not such a big deal, because the silverware, they cash it through, they can have shishim. They want to cash your ovens through libun, so assuming that they can do libun, you can do a golan oven anyway, you want to do libun, so libun works out of Ben Yaima. The main problem is the steam kettle. They have a steam kettle. The steam kettle is used, I believe it holds things like soup. It's a steam kettle, it's a double-walled kettle that holds things very hot. And they want to kasher the steam kettle. And I believe the steam kettle itself is used to kasher silverware or other things that they throw in there. But the problem is the steam kettle is a ben yaima. So with Saimach HaNeshach, what the Afsherim do is they put in the water, bring it to a boil, and put in, let's say, bleach or ammonia, they put in something that is plaguing the water. Now, how does that help? What's the problem with a Ben Yaimai? When you boil the water, it works, it purges the bleus out of the walls. The problem is it comes out of the walls, it makes the water treif, and then it goes back into the keli, it makes the keli treif. So if you pagim the water, so being pagim the water is an issue. Now, after doing this for a number of years, they realized, the Hasherim, that using bleach and ammonia doesn't work, because bleach and ammonia have very low evaporation points. So that by the time it came to a boil, there was no bleach left. There was no ammonia left. They took a ladle, pulled out a cupful, and drank it. It was delicious. So they have a problem. So there are two ways of doing with it. One way is to use a different type of caustic solution, which doesn't boil out, and that's the preferable way. The other way is to have a couple of cases of bleach and keep on pouring it in. Every 5 minutes, a mashgiach has to pour in more bleach, more ammonia. It's a hassle. And you have to have quality people that you can trust to keep on doing it, and that's the other way of doing it. But bleach is not that expensive. That's
no,
the thing.
No, do it this way. You have to have the people that keep doing it.
Yeah, well, the people are supposed to be there anyway. Just instead of sitting and looking at the iPhone, they pour bleach. Before iPhones, it wasn't a problem. What are you going to do anyway? But now with the phones, it's a big thing. But anyway, this is the way that it's done.
First they purged it, and then they redo it.
No, as it comes to a boil, they're pugging it.
Right.
And so therefore all the bleas are pugging. Right. It boils, whatever bleas there are in the wall come out, right. And they become pugging, right. So they can't ask for the keli again. And then this is the way that it's done, and I think at least the Americans have accepted standard. The Chazinish is a fact fake a little, but... Yeah, if you had shishim, you wouldn't have to do this. You don't need shishim, right? The whole reason, if you had shishim, you would need to be plugging the water because the bliya would spread. But we have a Kabbalah that no keli contains shishim its own walls. And for that reason, if you're throwing something in, you can have shishim, but from its own walls, you don't assume there's shishim. Okay, this is the way that the Haggalah is done in the industry. I don't know, everybody does it, but just about everybody.
It's not practical to bring a huge vat each time they want to eat, go to a hotel or something like that?
No, you can't attach it to the steam in the hotel. There's no. Also, the hotel, despite the fact they have high ceilings and wide rooms, the cooking area is very limited. Uh-huh. Very, very limited. It's interesting, in the Meadowlands, there's a place that the wealthy people like to make weddings. What's it called? The Meadowlands Hilton. The kitchen there, it's fascinating, is around the perimeter. It's a narrow hall. I mean, not this narrow, but it's a hall around three sides of the perimeter of the dining room. And there, that's the kitchen. The kitchen is all around. There's a lot of space because there's a lot of space to work. And what? Like you. And that's where they do the cooking and everything. And it's narrow. It's not like you could just bring in anything you want, bring in new this and that. It's not easy. Now, they don't typically cook there. They typically cook in the commissary and bring it there for warming up. So most things are not a problem. You wrap it, you put it in an oven. It's not that much of an issue. But what? Well, the caterer has to have good mashgichim. There are individuals that are experts at kashering. There are no names in the field. There are maybe 10 of them that are experts at kashering. And you really, if you want to do a proper kashering, you have to get one of them. It's very difficult to kasher. It's not simple to kasher a hotel. And you have to have a million eyes on everything. And there are a handful of people that are really experts. And they're used by most of the hechsherim. And they freelance, and they do, and they're it's not simple to kasher a hotel. What? Pekima? Well, you kasher before Pesach, it will work. You know, we don't kasher, we never kasher on Pesach. It's technically, if you had to bleach, I don't think it would be us. But. Eda ben yaybe wa machmir. If it's in a royal achilas kelev with matir on this bleach, I assume bleach is not royal achilas kelev. I've never tried. You're not plugging the soup. The water of the kashu. Okay, no. Now let's learn siv beis. The main issues of Sif Beis is which kalim could you kasher and which kalim can you not kasher. But first, let's learn Sif Beis with the Ramah, and we'll see. Lakach mehem. If you buy from a guy, kalim should nishtamish ben bechem. We're at this guy in the flea market again. He's buying from a non-Jew kalim that were used in hat. Bein shem shel mateches or shel eitz, whether they're metal, you can kasher metal. We all know that. I ate, so you can kasher wood. I even the ferish of mechaber, granite, a slab of metal of stone, you could kasher. Magilon you do agola, va'achar kach matvilon. Now we have to talk about tefilas kelim, but I want to first stick with agola. The mechaber says that lechatchila you don't tovel kelim until after you kasher them. You kasher them, you make them usable. And then you tevel them. Otherwise, it's like tevel v'sheretz b'yadai. It's a tray for keli. Why are you teveling it? That's the lashon. There's on the side a Dogum Ravava, which is known to be Yehudi. You see on the side of the page? The Dogum Ravava says, Magilo akach matvilon. Yizdaiti im einam b'day yayman. If the keli wasn't used for 24 hours to tray, l'kuliyal mishari la'tvilo itchila. You could be tevel it first. V'nei So this is the Dogum Ravav is Kula, that you're allowed to tevel for practical purposes. Usually, we tevel new kelim also.
So
there's no need to. Right. Svi tevel, any keli that goes to the bailus of a guy to a bailus of a guy. So you're right. Really, if a guy goes the ship of a guy to a yid, it should be good enough, which is the reason for the chaylkin. But he's saying, if you tevel it with treifas in it, it's like tevel v'sheretz biyada, it's got remnants of the guy. So let me just tell you quickly about the granite countertops. The granite countertops have two issues. Really, if you go out and you buy a slab of granite and you put it on your counter, granite or stone, then you could use it, you could kasher it by pouring hot water. The problem with our granite is there are two issues. One is that the granite is treated. The granite is treated, I don't understand it. They tell me it's treated so that it doesn't absorb the water that's being used. Like, I don't understand. This granite has been out in the mountains since Sheshesim Hebraishis for 5,779 years, and it rained on it. And why all of a sudden now you're worried it's going to get wet with some water in the house? I just don't understand the science of it. But okay. Anyway, they treat it with a chemical, which is a synthetic. Which is synthetic, a silicon-based thing. Now, I have to tell you, when the granite started, it's only about 20 years ago, somebody in Shul got granite. He brought me a letter from his contractor that said the granite is not treated, it's pure, it's just a slab of granite. And I shared it with people in Shul, and that time, Jerry Olof HaShalom was having granite put in, and he was furious about the letter. He says, it's just not true. He brought me the cans of stuff that they used to treat it with, and he said, it is treated, and it's smeared, and so I don't know the answer. It seems typically it is. I know someone here in Shul who had granite put in into his Florida home. He had a granite put in, he ordered specifically untreated granite, and he was able to get it, and it hasn't yet fallen apart from the water. So he has the granite. So if it's plain, the mitzias, the halach is clear, the mitzias you have to figure out. Halach is a slab of granite, your kakasha, just by pouring hot water. If it has a surface that's silicon or whatever it is, then that creates an issue. There's a second issue, and that is at the seams. When they have two slabs of granite, the seam, they do is they pour in. It's really just ground granite that they pour in, and they put a sealant. So there's a problem with the sealant. Also, in the Darkei Tshuva says here, Shel Evan, he says only Evan Shleima, not ground stone. If you grind it, whatever reason of Metzius is different, it's only a whole Evan. If you know where your seam is, all you really need to do is to get some contact paper or tape and put it over that area, and the rest of the granite won't be affected. You know, you kasha everything before Pesach, that'd be yaiba, you kasha everything, and then you cover over the seam, and that's the story with the kasha.
Now we don't have Shabbos Gadol Drasha.
I don't know how you figure it out. It seems that typically they are coated with something. That's what it seems. The polishing with a machine doesn't mean anything. All right. Let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think it matters if it's referenced. Back to the Shulchan Aruch.
So we don't have to come to the Shabbos
Gadol Drasha. Magilon v'achakach matvilon. Ibim shal matzis v'im tvilon v'achakach magilon. You did the reverse. You toiveled it first, agola second, mutarim. V'yeshayimim shetzorach lazar ula tvilon. And some say you have to be tevel, and that's how the shachs of cotton hay paskins. Rent kale to a guy. That's a kasher. Yeah. I don't know. The question of skius is kind of. Okay. Anyway, whatever it is. The Ramah Din Klai Etzem Ayin Ilchus Pesach Tifton Aleph Boneware. I don't know if we have true boneware today. Ein lahago shum keli kol zman shu binyan. Now this Ramah is what I told you earlier. Ein lahago shum keli kol zman shu binyan. Look in the Taz of cotton bays. Follow with me the Taz, okay? Kol zman shu binyan. Zeloshen hator. Ein megalin kliat shaloi yehei binyan. Neshei b'mayim shemigilim by saba kenegdon. You don't kasher until it's either ben yaimai or that the water is 60 times. Aval mu ben yaimai. Then she shemnegda loy also loy hagala. The hagala doesn't work for loy yai. El afilu akli she gilu b'saychai gam keneser am hoya shal het. B'chein. Imago kli shal basar. Now here follow with me. V'kashering fleishig and kelim lechol by cholav to make the melechiks a yibcha. Tzara shaloy yehei ben yaimai. Vimago b'kli shalisit tzar shalayehei ben yaimai. Hakan l'shayne. This is all the language that he's quoting from the Torah. V'tomesi ashalay hitik ramah gamzeh k'sheish b'mayim shishim neged akli shingu yachal gilim afilu b'nei yaimon. Why doesn't the ramah bring the eighth of 60 times? V'mabash kozv ator chen imago kli shalbasa tzar shalayehei ben yaimai. Now here it's very important to realize the difference. When you're kashering fleishiks to milachiks, zedakul lechatzila. If by mistake you take a fleishig a keli that's ben yaimai, and you have a milcha keli and boiling water, you throw in the fleishig a keli, the Rosh Taz says that's only lechatzila, avu b'di'evet also loy hagala, sharina parnat tehetei rohu. This is extremely complicated. I'd like you to follow. What he's saying is, if you have a Eina ben Yaimai, you want a kasha in your house, you have a whatever, let's say you have a spatula, fleshig a spatula, and use it to turn over a milcha kalanka. So that spatula is treif. I shouldn't say treif, I don't want to deal with treif. I care. You have a milcha spatula, you want to make a fleshig, you need it for fleshigs, whatever reason. But you have milcha silverware, you want to inherit it from a grandmother, milcha silverware, you want to make it for fleshigs for you. So you're kashering it. Now, if it's Eina ben Yaimai, no problem. If it's a ben yaimai, what's the din? Forget about kashering. What's the din in my house if I'm cooking spaghetti? I have hot water. I'm boiling hot water in a flay sugar pot, and I stick in a milchik, a spoon that's a ben yaimai, into the water. What the Taz here is saying is no problem with the evid. The water is a napar not from the milchik, a spoon, and the mela, there is no issue. That's what it says here in the Taz. The Chatzchila, everything should be Eina b'nei yaimai. But b'di'evad, it's not a problem, because the water is not barnat d'atayra. Not barnat d'atayra means that not barnat, noisin tam by noisin tam, through a keli. The milk just went into a keli and then out into the water. If it went from the keli into meat, that's not barnat isura. The milk just went out into iser, because milk is the flesh is iser. Something pariv is called naparat etera, and it's mutter. Now you must know the following. If both the fleishig keli and the milchik keli are b'nei yaiman, they're both b'nei yaiman, then it's osir even b'di'evet. Now I have to explain this. It's a funny thing. It happened about a month or two ago. That somebody called me with a kitchen shayla on it was right before Shabbos, maybe it was a Thursday, and Mamish had this case. They were both b'nei yaimai. Someone was cooking vegetable soup and stuck a milchik ben yaimai in a fleishig a pat ben yaimai, and I told him you got to throw out the soup and kasha all the keli. On Shabbos, when I caught my breath and was thinking about it, I realized the person who called me was a Sfaradi. And for Sfaradim, it's mutter. I said, oh boy, I better call him back. You know, went to Shabbos on Sunday, I forgot. I finally called him on Monday. So the soup was thrown out already, but at least he didn't throw out the kelim. You know, he didn't throw out the kelim. Now, I want to explain this din. The rule of naparnat is an absolute rule based on the Gemara on Cholin. Dogim sha'alu b'kairi shal basar. If you have part of the things that went on to a flesh, you're a kelim, naparnat. A naparnat never asks b'di'evet. Naparnat is a part of a thing that has a blia of milchiks or blia of fleishiks. Naparnat de'atayra. Never asks b'di'evet. If you made spaghetti in a feshik of keli, and you come home and your child has it with the cottage cheese, it's perfectly okay. The spaghetti is called naparnata hetera, and it's mutter. A par of a thing made in a fleshing kekeli or in a milcha kekeli, which is heter, naparnata hetera, even benayayman, it is a benayayman. You cook spaghetti in a fleshing of benayayman, the spaghetti is naparnata hetera, the chatzili you treat it as fleshings. But once it got mixed into a naparnata hetera, never ever ases b'dieved, not the food, not the keli. The Ramah is machmir. When you have a pot that's ben yaymai, you're cooking spaghetti, parrot, a soup, and you stick in a spoon that's ben yaymai, he's machmir that you have to kasha the kelim. And there's a machlek is shach and taz as to why. Machlek is a shach and taz. One of them says, we're afraid the blias meat before they dissipate in the pariv, that the blia be'ed, as it's purged out of the keli, meets before it becomes a tan kolosh, and therefore it's iser. The other one says, because I think that's the shach, and the taz says, because when you're stirring it, you might touch the wall, and then the blia, the both b'nei yaiman, goes directly. So for us, b'nei Ashkenaz, we're machmir when they're both b'nei yaiman, and b'nei Sfarad, amekel, even when they're both b'nei yaiman. This Taz says, if you're kashering through agala from milchiks to fleshiks to milchiks, even if it's a ben yaimai, it's okay, because it's not part of that. He only means when the outside keli is either paro ve'ina ben yaimai, and the one you're kashering is a ben yaimai, but the evidence is good. But if both are ben yaimai, if the outside keli is a ben yaimai, and the keli of kashering is also a ben yaimai, then we're machmir. Then the Ramah is machmir, and the Shach and Taz paskin that way. So the Taz here is a little misleading. He says, well, look, the fleishiks, even if it's a ben yaimai, it's okay, and it's only an aparat. He means the outside keli is a ben yaimai.
Was
it
meeting simultaneously?
What?
The water.
Because the blias.
Meeting simultaneously?
The reason for the chumra.
Yeah.
The reason for the chumra, like the Shach, is because it meets before it spreads. The blias meet then. The taz holds because it might touch the keli and the blias go directly. And then it's not by the surah. If the fleshes goes into milchis, the milchis in the fleshes, that's not by the surah.
Now, when you said the spaghetti came out of a fleshy good pot, if you put hot cheese on it, that would be
mutter.
Not in the hot cheese.
Hot cheese. Once the only chumra I'm telling is. If you put the cheese into the fleshy kapad, it's a problem. Spaghetti, yeah. If you have part of a food made in a fleshy kapad or a milk kapad, even ben yaimai, and it's already out of the pot, now you're heating it up with milk, with hot cheese, it's mutter. We don't do it lechatchila, because naparnat the hetera, naparnat the fleshy, so naparnat the milk, never asks the diyavid. It's a tam kolush, it's a weak taste. And it never has to be the end. That's less man the palin. That's a sugi in the Gemara.
Not to eat it in the same mouthful.
A chatchila, but once it's mixed, then you could. What? I can't hear you. No, the spaghetti, the chatchila, you don't do with cheese. If you cooked it. Dog and Shalom Bekaira Shabasa, you put the good on and it's mutter. The Chatzilla, we don't, right. There's no knas, no. Tevil? Kashu? No, you don't have to kasher again. A naparnat is never asks anything to the Eved. Once it's done, that's the rule of naparnat. It's a tam kolosh. So tam kolosh di sura, naparnat di sura is asr. But once it's naparnat di ater, it doesn't get a shame iser once it's a tam kolosh. A chatchila, you don't mix it with milk.
No,
They're not burning. So the water that you're kashering in is not barnat water. L'chatzal, you wouldn't miss it with meat, but it can't go back in now and ask the keli and make it melechik, because that would be already be the evet. Yeah, right. Right.
Not
barnat.
Not
a nat. Okay. Good. Chazam and Gra argue in a different case. They argue if you're allowed the chatchila to cook parav in Eina Ben Yaimai in order to mix it with the other min. The Gra has his rule that anything that's mutta b'di'evet on a Ben Yaimai, it must be keli. The Gra's rule is the way to remember. The Gra is a klal. Anything that's mutta b'di'evet on a Ben Yaimai is mutta l'chatchila on a Eina Ben Yaimai. That's his rule. So since a ben yaimai, a naparnat is mutter b'di'evet if you mix it with milk, so you know, the gra holds the chatchila, you're allowed to cook spaghetti in a flesh sugar in a ben yaimai with the intention of mixing it with cottage cheese. The chasson says the chatchila. The gra shita is you're allowed to take a flesh sugar pot, cook spaghetti, even though your intention is to later mix it with milk. As long as it's in a ben yaimai.
Could
an Ashkenaz I guess so. I mean, it's not food, it's Kalin. He wants to give away the food. Yeah, I guess he can give it to his Friday friend. I asked to add a lot of spices to get him to eat it. Okay, what? Can make rice. It's not the same mouthful, it's mutl chatzchila. This is only the same mouthful. It's only the same mouthful for dairy equipment, yeah, 100%. Okay, the sugya of Hagala itself is not so complicated. How to do Hagala and what to do by Hagala. There are two issues with Hagala itself, and then we have to talk about what Kalim Hagala works for. The issues with Hagala itself, in Siman Tuf Nun Beis, the Hagala is what to do with the Yair Gedayla. Yair Gedayla means you have a very large frying pan, a very large pot, and you don't have another pot that it fits into. In other words, somebody says, how do I kasha? I tell them, you take silverware, you take a pot, boil up the water, and throw it in. No problem. What happens if you have a 10-gallon pot? So how do you put that into another pot to kasha it? So if you want, you go to yeshiva. Yeshiva has the big, big pots, and you can throw it in. But most people at home don't have an eitzah on how to kasha very big pots. So in Siman Tuf Nun Beis, Sivav, it says two eitzahs. One is the eitzah of building up a wall along the side, what they call a gedanfa lekeli. I saw, I don't remember where it was, in one of the plants once, that they had a metal, what they call gedanfa. Gedanfa is this. You want to kasha a large pot. Now, you have to realize the treifus only went in from the inside. No treifus went in from the outside, except incidentally when it boiled over. So, there are two ways to do it. One is, you can't just fill it up with hot water, because if you fill it up with hot water, you're still not getting the rim, you're not getting it right. So, what you do is you build up the side so that the water goes over the rim, and then you boil it that way. That's one way to kasher a Yair Gedayla. The other way is to fill it up with hot water to the top and throw in an Eben Meluban, a hot stone. You take a stone, you put it on the fire, you hold it with pliers or tongs, you throw it into the boiling water, it causes the water to bubble over, and those two are ways of kashering a large pot, provided that it's not a keli that was used On the outside, with hatchalitz, which creates a whole different problem, there's a pesach tshuva and siman tzadik beis, the sukkah and gimel that deals with somebody that became trey from the outside, and I guess it's just not our issue for the moment. Now that's had a kasher yair gedayla. Today they have before Pesach places where they set up kashering stands that are big kalim, and it's much much easier to kasher. There is an issue, and I mention this every year before Pesach, with things that have lips or cracks. Things that have cracks with the end could gather, or a lip of a keli that's bent over and has therefore a crack around the edge. There's a chashash, some types of kiddush cup have that. So that creates an issue. You can't kasha food. You can't take food, put it in boiling water, make it kosher. Can I take kalim? If there's be'en, be'en does not become kosher through hagolah. Libun would work. If someone does libun on things that have cracks, libun would work. But not hagolah. Therefore, one eitzah that says is to clean it well, which is sometimes difficult. The other eitzah is to be paigim the be'en. The way you paigim the be'en is very simple. Let's say you have a becher, and it has a lip. So you take a plastic container, you put in an inch of ammonia or some or Ajax, and you put the becher in upside down overnight. They have to make sure something is not going to discolor the silver, but most of these things are safe for silver. And then overnight, whatever be'en there is absorbs the bleus, and the mela absorbs the bleach or the ammonia, and it becomes pogum. We do that, those of us who have stainless steel sinks and don't want inserts, we want to just kasher the sink. So we really have an issue because every sink around the drain has a crack where the sink meets the drain, which is sedakim, which are cracks, chazal chayshish v'ben, in those cracks. Now very often they look clean. Chazal chayshish v'ben. So what the Rav Pab told people to do, and I tell people to do, is stop up the sink and fill it up with some bleach or Ajax and leave it that way overnight. Or if you want to use Ajax powder, you have to make it wet, make it into a paste, and leave it over the crack. And if there's any be'en, it becomes not really lachila. And then you can kasher it after that. But that's a halacha of sedakim, of cracks that need... that need a proper hagolah, and hagolah doesn't work for be'en. Chazal chayshish, they're chayshish by knives with wooden handles, that the chashash be'en on the place of the wooden handle, that you should not be able to kasher it. Therefore, if it has such cracks, unless you can clean it well, you need at least to be paigim it or to do libun of its shah.
Now we're trying to kasher, who gets.
But in that one aser, any the mashu, I don't think we're worried about the mashu who's they're blocking the libo the hagala. So I don't think we're worried about the mashu. I think that's the reason.
Okay.
It's an iroi. He's saying it doesn't hit that spot, but more or less it hits all around. Now, all right. So that has to do with the method of hagala. These are the two pratim. Yerei Gedayla is a difficulty, and Sedakim is a difficulty. Rust, it says, also is a problem. Rama says rust is an issue, but Libun helps. Even if something is rusted, Hagolah doesn't help if it's rusted. Baruch Hashem, today, with our stainless steel, we don't have much of a rust issue. The question of which kalim you could kasher. So, as I mentioned, stoneware, metal, wood, Mechaber mentions could be kashered. First of all, there's an issue with synthetics. With plastic or any Teflon, any of these things. Now, obviously, there's no early makar for whether plastics are anything, because plastic didn't exist until who discovered plastic? Nobody even knows. It's an amazing thing. The airplane, they know, and everything, but plastics, a man, his name was Bakeland, B-A-K-E-L-A-N-D, he discovered plastics. And the original plastics were called something with his name. I don't remember what they were called. Well, Bakelite, yeah. So anyway, he discovered plastics, but he was a very smart man. He didn't didn't kill himself like the Wright brothers died penniless. They killed themselves trying to defend their patent on the airplane. And one of them died in his 40s, and the other one went back to fixing bikes for a living when he got older. He's probably good at fixing bikes if he was able to make an airplane. You gave him your bike, and you got it back, it flew. You know, so. But anyway, so synthetics, until him, there was no synthetics. Till the 125 years ago, there was no synthetics. So you need a Gadol HaDor to Paskin. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and his original tshuva, which was in Aruch Chaim Beis, Simin Tzadik Beis, says that we have no Kabbalah to kasha plastics. We don't kasha plastics. There were people erroneously who understood that Rav Moshe held we can never kasha plastic. Rav Moshe held that way only for Pesach. That Pesach, which is in Esamashu, we don't kasha pay. We don't kasha. Rav Moshe originally Baal Peh, was printed originally by Rabbi Eider, clarified that he meant for Pesach, not for all year round. And later in the Gris Moshe Ben Ezra Chelek Dalid, I believe it's Simon Tess. Sorry, Simon Zion. Rav Moshe's Mekel by Shari Surim, which is about Teflon, that we do kasher. Which means, for example, we tell people if you have a microwave, you want to kasher it. So you can kasher it through Zaya. The bleah goes into Zaya. You put in a bowl of water, and you can kasher it. You clean it, you kasher it, you can kasher a microwave. That's only from Issa to Heter, Fleshix to Milichitz. That's the Fleshix. But it's not for Pesach. The walls of a microwave are plastic. And for Pesach, we don't kasher plastic at all. We don't kasher any plastics. That's Rav Moshe's Pesach. As far as I know, it's Mekubal in the whole world that we don't kasher plastic. Now, that adds a problem for those who have the Formica countertops. Formica is plastic-coated cardboard. Is a hard cardboard, which is coated with plastic, which you can't kasher. You can kasher from treif or from milchus to fleishix, but not for Pesach, because Formica is coated with plastic. And that's why we always cover it. We cover it maybe the Rafta de Milsa people kasher.
Is that an additional problem because they have the small holes?
Now the only other issue is Kli Cheres. We have a Kabbalah that Kli Cheres ain't a yaitzi midei dafyei la'ilam. A blia doesn't leave the wall. We're going to have it in Pesach and Daflam and on Shabbos, and it's in Avodah Zarah and Iksubis in three places in Shas. We have a Kabbalah that it doesn't entirely leave. It leaves it partially. Libun Gomor works for Kli Cheres, which is why you can self-clean an oven. However, the Gemara says in Pesachim, the Chazal made a gzeira not to do Libun Gomor, and next week we'll talk about different Libun Kal, Libun Gomor, but not to do a real Libun on Kli Cheres, the Chai is still Mapaki. The Gemara says, if you have a set of china and I tell you, oh, use a blowtorch, you can kasher it. You don't want to lose your china. It's going to crack from excess heat. So Chazal or Geyser, even though you'll say, I'll do it, I'll put my china into my self-cleaning oven and it'll be hot enough, Chazal made a gzeira that is Ibichai is Dilma Paki, and therefore they said that a person can't kasha Kli Cheres. The exception to that, which the Mishnah Berurah brings in Tufnun Aleph of Katan Yagimel, are things that are made to be used with Libun Gomor, like an oven. Things that are made to be used with that type of heat, there's no Gezeira Del Mapaki, and therefore, so it's important to know, I think people know, Cheres, you can't kasher. Even Libun, which technically works, does not work on China or the like, because it is Gezeira Derabon Del Mapaki. Pyrex is either glass or China, and therefore it's a problem. The Pyrex that you put in. Yeah, Pyrex is, if I don't know if it'll survive in a Libun Gomor. And it might be Xavier there also. Yeah, I don't know what's in. Okay, it's a sham. We'll get to Libun next week.